And the Reverend reminds you tonight that they're missing the Crosstown Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of Crosstown, Liberty, Texas. Today is June 11, 2021. Our first service today with a song entitled Follow Me. Travel down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden of my weary back has brought me to despair. I've complained to Yahshua how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly. My feet were so weary upon a Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. The faithful weary come from the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow those to me. I worked so hard for Yahshua, I often boast and say. I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I've left the throne of glory and counted it not lost. My husband man and hanged upon the cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh, Yahshua, if I die upon a foreign field someday, to be no more than love denied, no less could I repay. A greater love hath mortal mind than for a friend who died. These are the words he gently told to me. Just a cup of water I place within your hand, and just a cup of water all that I demand. If they lift my death to living, they can my glory see. I'll take my cross and follow those to thee. Part 1, O Nation Not Desired, Zephaniah chapter 2. Now it says that in the first verse, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O Nation Not Desired. Joel 2:16. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage unto reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Elohim? Okay, let's go back now to Zephaniah chapter 2. Let's read verse 2. Let us read the first verse again and then get acclimated here. Gather yourselves together, yea. Gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahshua come upon you. Before the day of the Yahshua's anger, this is the sun now, come upon you. Job 21:18. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. For the Yahweh layeth up his iniquity for his children, he rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Shall any teach Yahweh knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high? One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. Alright, that's the wicked, that's the righteous and the wicked. Between the two, that's the comparison. Zephaniah chapter 2, it says, seek ye the Yahweh, seek ye the Yahshua, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. It says, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. So we go to Psalms 105:4, and let's read a little something there. It says, seek the Yahshua and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. What did the Pharisees say? Well, we be the seed of Abraham. We're not born of fornication. They choose Yahshua being born of fornication, and he was not the son of Yahweh. Oh, they accused him of everything in the world. He'd been a devil, even. They called him everything in the book, and then they end up hanging him on the cross and just doing everything they could to abuse him, kill him, get him out of our sight. But yet they said we'd be the seed of Abraham. Well, this nation not desired is definitely of the seed of Abraham. That's who they all are. Those that join this nation that's not desired are going to be all of the seed of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, through Yahshua, through David, through Yahshua. Seek ye the, let's go on into Zephaniah 2:4. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of Yahweh is against you, O Canaan. The land of the Philistines, I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds, and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah, the lawgiver, the tribe of the line of Judah. And Yahshua represents the line of the tribe of Judah. And he's the king that is sitting upon the throne of David in this house, everlasting kingdom of heaven that has come down to earth. And the tribe of Judah is in charge because they are the lawgivers. They shall feed thereupon, and the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Yahweh the Elohim shall visit them and turn away their captivity. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people. and magnify themselves against their border. Who is this here, revilings of the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon? Moab and Ammon are the descendants of Lot. Lot was a Hebrew. He was a nephew to Abraham. He was the one that had to flee out of Sodom and Gomorrah with only his two daughters. They had to flee to the mountains. Yahweh utterly burned up Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities in the plain round about them. And so Lot's daughters thought that they were the only people left on earth. They thought every inhabitant of the earth had been destroyed. So Lot's two daughters, they contrived a method to preserve seed in the earth. They said, we only have one male that's left in the world, and that's our father. And if we don't raise up seed unto him, says, where else is there anybody else to do it? In other words. And so they contrived to get their father drunk, and they lay with him, and they conceived. One laid one night, one laid the next night, and I guess apparently they were in that time of season when they could conceive. And they conceived seed, and they brought forth two male children. And these male children grew up, and they became the father of the Moab nation and the nation of Ammon. Now these two nations they grew up to be heathen nations, descendants of the Hebrew Israelite Lot, but they grew up to be Ishmaelites and Edomites. That's where the Edomites come from, Esauites. Okay. Therefore, as I live, saith the Yeshua the host, this is Zephaniah 2, verse 9. The Elohim of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom. Okay. So Moab shall be as Sodom. Who would Moab represent today in the form of a Hebrew Israelite? Of the seed of a Hebrew. It would represent the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Moab, I suppose, is the first one born. Well, I say they were. I'm sure that the sisters that conceived them, they conceived both of those people within a 24-hour period, apparently, because it says one lay with their father one night and one laid 24 hours later with their father the next night, and they both conceived. So these Moab and Ammon were the same age. They were the same age. So I suppose that Moab was born first, and so therefore he is the stronger. He's the one with the birthright, in other words. Therefore, as I live, saith the Yahshua of hosts, that's the reason why it says Edom came from him, and Esau, the firstborn of Isaac and Rebekah, Hebrew father, bearing twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau was born first, and so he got the birthright, and he persecuted Jacob, the one born second. So likewise, you had a Moab born first here, and they were cousins. Apparently, they had to be brothers. They had the same father. Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Yahshua of hosts. For the Yahshua, I'm putting Yahshua's name in here, because, the son, because all of this is written in upper and lower case, and that's what the translators apparently wanted to bear out that this is talking about the Son, actually. So it says, for the Yahshua will be trouble unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen, are going to worship this Yahshua of hosts. When he comes to reign upon the throne of David as King of Kings, and Sovereign of Sovereigns, and to thresh the nation, and to destroy all of his enemies. What a great day that is for us approaching. Okay, yet, ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nation. It says, all the beasts of the nations. It's got an S on a nation, meaning all the nations, more than one. In other words, all the nations are going to be gathered together and be judged. And fulfilling right there in Matthew 25:31. And that's Matthew 25:31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. There's that nation with an S on it. All nations. What it says in Zephaniah chapter 2, I just read to you there, verse 14, and flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it, their voice shall sing in their windows, the desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work. Now the question is talking about, why is it talking about flocks shall lie down in the midst of her? These are good animals. And the beasts of the nations. And then it talks about the cormorant and the bittern. These are animals that fly. These are birds that fly. Now these are predators. These are scavengers. These are unclean. What are they coming for? They're coming to the great feast, the great supper. I can tell you that right now, that is about to be of all the dead slain upon the earth. Okay, and Zephaniah 2, verse 15. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt careless with thee. What city is that? That's the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the spiritual Israel of today, that said in her heart, I am and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation? Well, all right. And this city is actually referred to as Babylon. So, Adventists, though, they have definitely become a very arrogant, rejoicing city over the laity and those that have disagreed with them and broken off as independent Adventists and have formed independent millions of them all over the world are worshiping in independent places and the out-of-the-way places from the main body of the Adventists. So he says, how is she become a desolation? I just explained it to you. Because all of the sincere laity of hers got tired of listening to the Babylonian idolatry and so forth. And so they just said, well, we'll just get us to choose our own leaders. And we'll just rise up and choose our own leaders and go out and form our own little worship group. And teach the truth as best we understand it. Sister White had a vision. She said she saw a great storm come through the church, the Adventist church. And she said when it blew through, there was not a leader left standing. I need to find that testimony of that vision she had. And she said when the people after the storm, said the wind came in the front door and went out the back door and said there was not a leader of the Adventist church left standing. And said the people rose up among themselves and chose leaders and went their way, formed their own groups. What do you think that means? That means it desolated the main body of the Adventist church. And here's the scripture for it here, Isaiah 2:15. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation? A place for beasts to lie down in. Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his hand. So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a twofold prophecy. The apostatized house of Israel, SDA Church, with a synonymous name as Babylon. She has joined her mother. Those that apostatized out of the Davidians and the Shepherd Rod, and those that apostatized out of Gilead, centers where I was spent 33 years, and the main and the associate pastor Daniel Johnson did exactly that. He went back to the Adventist Church, and he tried every way in the world to get membership in there, and he did for 3.5 years. And he became a Sabbath school teacher, and his wife became the church pianist. And boy, they were just having the time of their life. They were accepted by the Seventh-day Adventists until one person rose up one day and says, do you still believe in keeping those old feast days? And he says, well, yes, that's all. I don't believe none of that other stuff that the Rod taught, that my father taught. I don't believe any of that stuff. Said, I never was a Shepherd Rod, and I never was part of that belief. I was just there for 33.5 years with my father, but I never did engage and understand his teachings or accept it. But I was there all those years. So, what happened to him? He apostatized. What did he do then? He went and joined Babylon, just like all the rest of the Adventist Church did. That's the end of Zephaniah chapter 2. Now let's go into Zephaniah chapter 3. And this is a subject dealing with Jerusalem sharply reproved. Woe unto her that is filthy and polluted unto the oppressing city. Okay, who is this? This is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And guess what? Also, the word Mystery Babylon, the two words come to my mind at this point. Woe to her that is filthy, and we know Babylon, the great city that sits upon the hill, is very filthy and polluted, and they are the oppressors of the world. But what about the Seventh-day Adventist Church and her membership of close to 20 million worldwide? She's lost millions of independence, sincere laity, and so the Adventists have to replace them with nothing but terrors worldwide to keep their numbers up there, so they can keep the money coming in, so they can have more money to squander and spend for the elite. Let us go ahead, Zephaniah 3, verse 1 again. Woe unto her that is filthy and polluted unto the oppressing city. Now let's see if I have a cross reference to that verse, Zephaniah 3:1. And I don't have. They don't give me a cross reference. Let's go to verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in Yahweh. She drew not near unto her Yahweh. Now let's go see if we have a cross reference to that one. And we do, Jeremiah 22:21. Let's go and look at that now. Verse 21, Jeremiah 22. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. Thou hast been my manner. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. This has been the manner of the majority of the Seventh-day Adventists from her youth, since 1844. They only had the leadership back in 1844 and a handful of people to start the Advent then, and they all were in 100% agreement to the truth. That's the reason why they were able to have power, because Yahweh, and Yahweh was able to set up the Advent movement with them, because they were all in harmony with each other. But this people here, as they grew and waxed older and older, it says, I speak unto thee in thy prosperity, when you was in prosperity. But he's not going to speak to them when they start losing their prosperity. He's not going to speak to them at all. Because that's judgment has fallen upon them when that happened. But thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat of all thy pastures, P-A-S-T-O-R-S. And thy lovers shall go into captivity. Who is his lovers? Babylon. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. Alright, let's go back now to Zephaniah chapter 3. Let's look at verse 3. Her princes within her are roaring lions. In other words, when a lion roars real loud, and he has caught no prey, it means that he's hungry, and he's wanting something to eat, and so he roars out loud. And he lets the ones that are out hunting prey, he lets them know that he's unhappy if they don't bring him something to eat. So he lays there in the thicket, and the lionesses, the females, they go out and do the hunting. They all get within range of their prey, and so the male lion, he lays back there. He's hungry, and he's wanting something to eat, and he's wanting it right now. And sometimes those female lionesses don't take their prey. And they come up empty-handed. And the male lion, he gets angry after a while when they keep coming up empty-handed. And he roars loud. And when he roars loud, the prey, they know that he means business. And so they take off as fast as they can to get out of there. And the male lion takes off as fast as he can. And if he's close enough, he will get something to eat. He'll bring the prey down himself. Then he gets angry if any of the females and the cubs come up to try to horn in on his food. But they all stand back until they'll help him kill the prey. And then he gets in the middle of it and he says, I get the lion's share. You all just stay out of my way. And so the females, they gradually creep up there beside him, and while he's busy eating, they start eating. And then as long as they don't interfere with his eating, he lets them eat. So he's mad. And he's hungry. And he gets the lion's share, and then when he gets his belly full, he'll go off in a shady place, and he'll lay down and sleep for 24 hours. Because he'd eat about 25 to 30 pounds of food, meat, maybe up to 40 pounds, 50 pounds. He just gorges himself, and it takes 24 hours for him to digest and sleep at all. So this is what he's talking about. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Why? Because the laity hasn't gone out and got no money for them. They're not getting no extra money, and boy, they're mad. Her judges are eating wolves. They gnaw not the bones till tomorrow. Her prophets are lied and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. That's her ministers. Brother Johnson is one of them that polluted the sanctuary. Ben Roden before him polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Oh, my. The law means the law that governs every ordinance and precept that Yahweh has ever created. And statute and holy days and everything. Laws that govern health reform. Laws that govern dress reform. Everything. That's what the law is. The just Yahshua is in the midst of them. The continuation of the word just? It's judgment, justice, and liberty. So the just Yeshua is in the midst thereof, he will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment, there it is right there, judgment and just, unto the light. He faileth not, but the unjust, the unrighteous, I might add, knoweth no sin. No, they don't know no sin. They have no fear to speak evil of dignities, according to Peter. I have cut off the nations. There it is right there. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed. So that there is no man, and that there is none inhabitant. Now, where does this fit? Where does this Zephaniah 3:6 fit? Well, let's just go to Isaiah 24 right quick and see if it don't fit there. It says, verse 1, Behold, the Yeshua, this is the Son again, maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with their mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the leader, the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury unto him. The land shall be utterly emptied, the land, the United States is going to be utterly emptied, and utterly spoiled, for the Yahshua has spoken this word. For the earth mourneth and fadeth away, as the earthen parts of the United States, it's going to be judged first, it's going to fade away. What do you mean, fade away? What about the righteous? Well, that's another story. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languishes and fadeth away. The hardy people of the earth do languish. For the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. And this can only apply directly to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they're the spiritual Israel of the day. And they are the descendants of their fathers in the wilderness when they came out with Moses 3,500 years ago in the wilderness of Sinai. And then where they broke Yahweh's covenant as fast as they could make it. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. So now, therefore the curse hath devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate. In other words, they're without the Holy Spirit, completely devoid of the Holy Spirit, completely devoid of the knowledge of knowing good and evil. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now, it says that there are a few men left here, and the inhabitants of the earth are born. This is another time period, all right. But in Zephaniah chapter 3, where it says in verse 6, I have cut off the nations, their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, and there is none inhabited. This is talking about the Adventist Church. When Ezekiel 9 goes through her, by five angels with slaughtering weapons, and they go through her midst, to start the judgment of the living, and there they go through her midst. What it say is they slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and men and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. When those angels get through, there's not going to be not one inhabitant unrighteous in the Adventist Church left standing. Not one. Leaders and all. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, verse 7 of Zephaniah 3, thou wilt receive instruction. So their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punish them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doing. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Yeshua, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to give to the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms. Assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. restoration from it. Verse 9, Zephaniah chapter 3. For then will I turn unto the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahshua, for the serving him with the one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supply, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. And that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doing, when thou hast transgressed against thee, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of Yahshua. For the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and I shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. This is the house of David, the wave sheaf offering, first of the first fruits, represented by the barley grain. O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of the Jerusalem. For Yahshua hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. For the king of Israel, even the Yahshua is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. And that day it shall be said unto Jerusalem, fear thou not. And unto Zion, let not thine hands be slack. For Yahshua the Elohim in the midst of thee is mighty, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. Now, this solemn assembly, there's 2 days on the biblical calendar. Every year, that is called the solemn assembly. And they are designated as holy days. With another word attached to the Sabbath, with the Father's name in the Sabbath. And that's the last day of the unleavened bread week in the first month, the Passover week, and that's the first solemn assembly. And the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month is called a solemn assembly. It means that all the people that have been sanctified, purified, made white, are there for a celebration of the annual feast at the Passover or at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they are there in one accord without sin. So he said, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, unto whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. Now this is talking about the whole world, worldwide in this case. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Yahshua. Isn't this amazing how everything is so laid out in the scripture so clearly? It's just with the direction of the Holy Spirit, we can easily follow the guidelines of the teaching on a day-by-day basis with the Yahweh, the Father, through His Son, through the Holy Spirit, guiding our thoughts, our minds, and putting into our minds the things that we need to say and do, and know exactly how to understand it correctly. Having said all that, let us now go into, let's just go right on into the, well, matter of fact, let's go back to Zephaniah chapter 1 now. There's only 3 chapters to that book. And let's see what Zephaniah says in the first chapter. I know we started in the second chapter. But it says in verse 1, it says the word, this is the topic of Yahweh's judgment against Judah, the lawgiver, the line of the tribe of Judah, and the reason why Judah comes under judgment first is because Yahshua sits upon the throne of Judah, house of David, instead of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, and Yahshua is the lawgiver, so he has to purify the house of Judah. His throne is already sanctified and purified, and so therefore he has to sit upon that to bring judgment upon Judah to purify that house. And he took his seat upon that throne in 2002 in Kermit Texas at the Passover, and judgment began to fall up on the enemy's head that was in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, that was in charge of the sinful kingdom that we read about there in Amos chapter 9. Starting with the verse about 8, it says, "Behold, the eyes of Yahweh Elohim upon the sinful kingdom, the Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth." And Gilead Center today has been dissolved. And all of her inhabitants, those that are left living, have apostatized and gone out into the world, all back into the Adventist Church. "Saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob," said to Yeshua. The house of Jacob is your remnant of Judah, the house of David. The first fruits, the wave sheaf offer represented by the barley, comes through the first judgment. 1 Peter 4:17 at Gilead Center. "For lo, I will command, and I will set the house of Israel among all nations." Now here's this nations again. What is a nation again that's not desired? It's this purified nation of the everlasting kingdom of David, which is the same as the everlasting kingdom of heaven that has been purified. "Like his corn is sifted in a sieve, ye shall not, shall not the least grain fall upon the earth." Amos 9:10. "All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword." Now, what sword is it talking about? What sword is it talking about? It's talking about that sword there in Hebrews 4:12. And so people might think that it's a literal sword, yeah. In a sense, it's very literal, but physically speaking, it's very spiritual. There's nothing stronger than anything that's spiritual. There's nothing stronger. What does it say there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? It says, "For the word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So what is that telling us, folks? Amos chapter 9, once again. Verse 11, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen that are called by my name, saith Yahshua that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." What's that sweet wine? New present or fresh provender, new manna from heaven. Notice I said new manna, fresh provender, food, spiritual food. "Then I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build a waste city and inhabit them." See? "And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel." After he gets through Ezekiel 9, going through the Adventist church, getting rid of all of the terrors out of there, all the enemies of Yahweh's true people, "and they shall build a waste cities and inhabit them." This is a joint prophecy with what George Washington had envisioned back in 1777, when he saw a vision of the three woes that come upon America from 17, the first one had already happened when Washington was given that vision. 1776, the first war had come. You had the the war of between the 13 colonies and Great Britain, the War of Independence from Great Britain. That was the first war. The second war that George Washington saw was the Civil War in 1861. And the third war is when Yahweh set up Donald Trump. He's bringing the third war upon the United States right now, even as we speak. So he says, and after this third war, that's what the Democrats are forming on one side and the conservative Republicans on the left side. And Donald Trump is representing a new Republican Party. And lo and behold, the Democrats have formed them a new Democratic Party called Conservatives. And they're going to try to compete with the conservative Republicans to take back their seats in Congress. But they're not going to succeed. They're going to end up raising up a great military army to fight each other in the face off out on the battlefield right here in the United States. That's where it's going to end up at. To fulfill that second woe, or that third woe, that George Washington saw in vision. And if I had the time, I'd read that third vision to you. That vision George Washington had, but you know, I'm not going to do that right now. I'll do that later. But in Zephaniah 1, Amos chapter 9, verse 14, it says, "And I will bring again to captivity my people of Israel." And now that goes with Isaiah 11. No doubt that goes with Isaiah 11. Even though it don't give me a cross reference, but it goes with Jeremiah 30, verse 3. And we might just turn and read that right quick. It says that, "For lo, the days come, saith the Yahshua, that I'll bring again to captivity my people Israel and Judah, saith the Yahshua, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it." All right, so there's your fulfillment of that. We got two witnesses there, Jeremiah and Amos. It says, and once again, Amos 9:14, "And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel." Then you have a cross reference again of Ezekiel chapter 36, 33 to 36. And let's go read that. I know what that says. Ezekiel 36 is right before Daniel. It says in Ezekiel 36, what I say, Ezekiel 36, 33 to 36. Let's go ahead and read it. It says, "Thus saith Yahweh Elohim." Now let's do that again. This is all upper and lower case, so let's. Thus saith Yahshua, the Messiah, or Savior, "In the day that I shall have cleansed you from all of your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the city, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled." There's that word desolate, there's that word land. "Whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden." Not only is the land of Israel become like the Garden of Eden these last days, but also the United States. Matter of fact, the whole world is going to experience a refurbishing, a complete restoration before the end time completely, where it finally passes away. "And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited." Or is this earth going to be refurbished and returned back to the Garden of Eden after all this desolation takes place? And when the people rise up to build again, it says in George Washington's vision that they will never know more. They'll live in peace forevermore from then on. Okay, verse 36 of Ezekiel 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahshua, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Yahshua, has spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith Yahshua, Messiah, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, the seventh day Adventist church, to do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. First he starts with the house of David, the wave sheaf, a few, and then he graduates from 12 to 120. In this case, if they graduate from a few to 144,000. And then it goes to the great multitude, Revelation 7, 9, and it goes to the 200 million, Revelation 9, 16. Then it goes to, last but not least, to the call to come out of Babylon, my people, Revelation 18, 1 to 4. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem, and her solemn face, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Yahshua, their Savior. I just add that last two words. Okay, so now that pretty well, we're getting close to the end of our sermon for this day. Let's go back now to Zephaniah chapter 1. And it says that in verse 3, I will consume man and beast, I will consume the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, land both of Israel and the United States and all over the world. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah, the lawgiver, where naturally this is Yahshua talking, because he's the one that takes his seat upon the throne of David as the lawgiver here and as the judge and executing judgment and justice, as we just read earlier, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the cherubims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven, upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Yeshua, and that swear by Malcolm. That's another name, I believe, for Baal, like an idol god. And them that are turned back from the Yahshua, and those that have not sought the Yahshua, nor inquired for him, hold thy peace at the presence of the Yahshua Messiah. For the day of the Yahshua is at hand, for the Yahshua hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Yahshua's sacrifice. This is latter day, and I thought they said that the sacrificial system was done away with. When Yahshua died on the cross. Yeah, the sacrifice of the animals of the old covenant came to an end. But what about the sacrifices of the new covenant? He's talking about it right here in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 8. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yahshua's sacrifice that I will punish the princes. That's the ministers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the prophets of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, starting with Brother Johnson. The last shall be judged. First, and that was Brother Johnson, Gilead Center, 11th, at the end of the 11th hour, Kermit, Texas, 2002. And the king's children and all such as are clothed with the strange apparel. And the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold. What is the threshold? Yahshua came to the threshold of the house at Kermit, Texas, at Gilead Center, 2002, at the Passover. He came to the threshold. That's all the further that he could come, because they wouldn't invite him in. He only came and knocked. He came to the threshold of the house, which filled their master's houses with violence and deceit. And that Gilead Center, that was a temple of the Holy Spirit's doing. And Brother Johnson was the master of that house. But the people have filled their master's house with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How are ye inhabitants of Megtish? For all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their leaves. And where did he start doing this at? Kermit, Texas. He started when the judgment starts, the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, 2002, Kermit, has said in their heart, Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. He's not going to do anything to us for dragging our feet and laying around. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and the houses of desolation, they shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Brother Johnson built a whole, all of his buildings in there on that property where he lived. And he even built one big building on it. The great day of Yahshua is near. It is near and haste is ready. Even the voice of the day of Yahshua. The mighty man shall cry their building. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation. There's that desolation again. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm. This is Joel 2:15. Against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned, past tense, against Yahshua. And their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Yahshua's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Folks, what are we looking at? We're looking at that very thing shaping up right now. He's using Donald Trump as antitypical charge to start bringing this all about. And lo and behold, we're at the end of our study for this hour. So contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song. Now I belong to Yahshua. Now I shall not say. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua, my Savior. The love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Yahshua came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy first, my soul, for Yahshua has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me.